We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, very good Thursday evening, everybody. Welcome here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens here with you. Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass. As he mentioned, we'll take you up until 10 o'clock. That's when coverage of Panthers hockey begins here on 560 WQAM. So it is a late night for one of our local teams, but we will have you filled in between now and then. We've got so much to discuss this evening as free agency in the NFL continues to be a frenzy. It slowed down a little bit today compared to the last couple of days, but my goodness, the news continues to come in, and the Dolphins are a part of the news over the last 24 hours, although nothing has occurred in the Teddy Bridgewater situation, but we will update you on that if that changes. Heck, I was on two nights ago and we had the Odell Beckham Jr. news break in the middle of the show. We had Cam Wake departing for the Tennessee Titans break in the middle of the show, among other things, Dee Ford being traded. So you just never know what could happen. Also, we're going to talk some Miami Heat. We got college hoops action in full swing with March Madness going on. So we got a lot to get into. If you want to get involved in the conversation, we encourage you to do so via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. That's 560-22. Let's start by just mentioning a couple pieces of news here. It was official today, announced by the Dolphins, that Eric Rowe, the cornerback, and tight end Clive Walford have both been signed. So the Dolphins now, if you're keeping track, they have signed Dwayne Allen, Eric Rowe, and Clive Walford via free agency. They have re-signed Devontae Parker. They have cut Andre Branch, Ted Larson, Danny Amendola, and Josh Sitton, and they've lost Juwan James in free agency. The strange piece of news that just developed over the last hour is once 5 o'clock hit, that's the end of business, right? For most people, depending on whatever business you are, including the NFL. And with that, Robert Quinn remains on the roster for the Miami Dolphins, which means he will be on the roster as of tomorrow. Even if they were to cut him tomorrow, he would still be on the roster by tomorrow. That means that the deadline has come and passed for the Dolphins, and he will receive a roster bonus of $1.12 million that the Dolphins are required to pay him. So the defensive end, who many have assumed would be gone for the Miami Dolphins, and others have reported that they've been trying to trade him, he's still with the Dolphins, and he is going to get that $1.12 million roster bonus. Now, perhaps the Dolphins can find a suitor at some point along the way and trade him and get something in return. Regardless, they're going to have to pay him the $1.12 million. Grand scheme of things, that's not a whole lot of money by NFL standards. But still, most people thought that he would be a guy that they would get rid of prior to having to pay any extra money to. And that leads me to the beginning of the show and something I wanted to bring up. And Adam Beasley, who is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour, who does a great job covering the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, he wrote about this. And it's a strange development that we're seeing so far in this Dolphins offseason. We entered it under the assumption that there would be certain players who definitely would not be back with the team. Right? Think about it. Among those were Andre Branch, Danny Amendola, Josh Sitton. Those first three names are already gone. Let's keep going down the list. Devontae Parker, Robert Quinn, Ryan Tannehill. And so far, all three of the latter names are still on the team. Devontae Parker, in fact, surprised everybody along with the Dolphins by signing a two-year extension with the team. So instead of that, having to pay him the $9.4 million on the fifth-year option on his rookie deal, they got him for about 2 years, $13 million, an incentive-laden contract, and they were bringing back the former first-round pick for a couple of more seasons in a Dolphins uniform. That was not what anybody expected. Robert Quinn is still on the roster, as I mentioned. Ryan Tannehill is still on the roster, as I mentioned. Not a lot of people anticipated both of those guys would still be on the roster at this point. And yes, I know the new league year just started yesterday at noon officially, or at 4 o'clock, but bottom line is this. Most people assume those guys would be cut right when the Dolphins had the opportunity. So I don't know what is actually happening here. Will some of these players actually be back with this team that we weren't anticipating? Because, you know, Tannehill and Quinn seem to be no-brainers. That 4 o'clock yesterday would come, and at 4:01 we'd have a press release sent out by the Dolphins. They would tweet about it, and it would be news that Ryan Tannehill and Robert Quinn had been released. And with Ryan Tannehill would have come likely with a post-June 1st designation. That hasn't happened at this point. But you take a look, 2018, both of them being paid a lot of money. 2019, their cap numbers, $26.6 million for Tannehill, $12.9 million for Robert Quinn. However, neither of these guys have been cut yet. Now, with Tannehill, you could make the argument that they're not going to cut him or release him until they have an answer at quarterback. And Teddy Bridgewater appears to be a possible answer. We'll talk about him. But other than that, with Robert Quinn, as I said, he's owed $11.8 million in the upcoming season, which would make him one of the 15 highest-paid defensive ends in football. In 2018, he had 6.5 sacks, but was very inconsistent. That was tied for 49th in the league. So to pay him as one of the 15 highest-paid defensive ends, and he only produces 6.5 sacks, yeah, you can do the math there pretty easily. It just doesn't make sense. But the bottom line is this. There seems to be a possibility that they could just keep him around. And maybe they decide, hey, they're going to pay this bonus tomorrow, which they ultimately have decided to do. They're going to wait for further into this offseason, see if any suitors emerge. But if not, I think there's also a possibility that if they cannot lure any other defensive ends, if the draft doesn't produce enough defensive linemen or via free agency, then perhaps they need that guy on the roster. And they decide, all right, we're going to stick with him. As much as that would have been a shock to everybody and a surprise just a week ago, just a couple of days ago. But it doesn't appear like there is a grand plan that's being executed here for the Dolphins, because I would argue that if you're going to keep Robert Quinn on this roster, again, in this hypothetical, and you're going to be on the hook for his $10.3 million base salary, and that you're going to pay the $1.12 million bonus that is due to him now that he's on the roster, why wouldn't you just bring back Cam Wake? Now, I don't know if Cam Wake wanted to stick around, but he just got $10 million guaranteed up front in his new deal with the Tennessee Titans, a 3-year, $23 million deal. I don't know if the Dolphins were willing to give him a 3-year deal, but as most of you know, if you're a savvy NFL fan, that the guaranteed money is all that really matters, right? So you could sign a 3-year deal. Cam Wake may only be in Tennessee for 1 year at 37 years old. But if you're going to keep one of your veteran defensive ends, why not keep number 91 in a Dolphins uniform where he belongs? The only team he's played for in his NFL career. Because he never played for the Giants when he was first out of school. And then, of course, was a star in the CFL. I don't quite understand what's happening on that front. But this is a scenario where you take a look and you've got a guy in Robert Quinn and a player in Ryan Tannehill who are still on this roster to many people's surprise. By the way, I don't know what this means. Teddy Bridgewater tweeted 4 minutes ago, 13 years later, I'm trying to see if history will repeat itself in my favor at some point. Anybody want to try to interpret that? 13 years later, I'm trying to see if history will repeat itself in my favor at some point. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater trying to make us read between the lines. Right, he's 26, so 13 years later would have been 13 years ago. He'd be 13 years old, living down here in Miami-Dade County. Who knows? Now, let's see. He just tweeted again. Let's see what else we got here. This is the way the world works these days. He also just tweeted a picture of himself in a Saints uniform with the quote, run it back turbo. If I'm going to read between the lines on that one, he's in a Saints uniform, run it back, Matt, Biff, are you interpreting this the same way I am? He said run it back, going back to the Saints for another year?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I'm really lost.
But this is the day and age we live in, right? Because no longer is it, hey, let's flip on the television to catch the breaking news. Heck, you don't even flip on the radio necessarily to get the breaking news. You certainly don't wait for the newspaper. You go on social media because that's where the news emerges immediately.
And even like Le'Veon Bell news, when he put it, like he changed his, I think the biggest news was he changed his like Twitter, like how like his bio, like the lettering color is. It was more of like a Green Bay Packer green. I thought he was going to the Packers all of a sudden. And then he went to the Jets. So I was like so lost. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. So Teddy Bridgewater just tweeted twice in the last few minutes here. And again, the most recent one, run it back turbo, in quotes, a picture of himself standing on the sideline in his Saints uniform from this past season. How do we interpret this? Because you know that's what everybody's doing right now, right? Everybody's jumping to conclusions and trying to figure out what that means. Now, you notice this, there's all sorts of people who are commenting on it. So it would appear to me that Teddy Bridgewater is re-signing with the Saints. That's what it looks like to me. I'm waiting for one of the quote-unquote insiders to tweet something about this. But why don't we do this? We'll take a timeout. When we come back, I do want to discuss the latest on the Dolphins quarterback situation. We will update if we get any new news on Teddy Bridgewater. We will pass that along to you. If you want to get involved in the conversation, what the Dolphins are doing so far in free agency, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022 is open. We'll be reading your text messages. But the latest on the Dolphins quarterback situation, we'll provide an update on that next here on QAM.
Radio.com.
That's right, we got breaking news. Man, we got quite a production team around here, led by Matt the Biff Wilson, as the breaking news is that Teddy Bridgewater has decided, you know what, despite that visit to the Dolphins last night, despite the fact that I'm originally from Miami, born and bred and grew up down here, lived down here, starred down here before going to Louisville and then to the Minnesota Vikings and New Orleans Saints, despite all of that, I am not going to sign with the Miami Dolphins, and I am returning to the New Orleans Saints to be the backup to Drew Brees. That is breaking news here into the football world. As I had mentioned before we went to break, Teddy Bridgewater had tweeted, 13 years later, I'm trying to see if history will repeat itself in my favor at some point. And then he tweeted again saying, run it back turbo, with a picture of himself in a Saints uniform. And, you know, a lot of people have been speculating about this, and a lot of people have been analyzing the tweets. Cameron Wolf, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN, tweeted out that that first tweet by Bridgewater, when he says 13 years later, he says, I'm not 100% sure this is the link, but Drew Brees did sign with the New Orleans Saints on March 14th, 2006, instead of the Miami Dolphins. So it's March 14th, 2019, and Teddy Bridgewater is signing with the New Orleans Saints instead of the Miami Dolphins. So there are so many different angles to this one, because what was fascinating to me the entire time is that with Teddy Bridgewater, last year, reportedly, and Armando Salguero had this from the Miami Herald, there was interest between the Dolphins and Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy Bridgewater, according to Armando, and his agent, wanted a one-year deal for $15 million. Remember, he was coming off the injury, and it was unclear exactly, you know, where he was, because that was such a seemingly catastrophic injury, but it's great that he has been able to come back. And as it turned out, he signs with the Jets, has a great preseason, gets traded to the Saints, and you just have to put yourself in his shoes. If $15 million is what he was asking for last year, with the premise of coming in to compete against Ryan Tannehill, right? It wasn't going to be you guaranteed have the job. Tannehill was here, and everybody had expectations that he would be the starter. So if that was the starting asking price last year for him to come in and compete Imagine what he would have been asking for this time around. And I don't say that begrudgingly towards Bridgewater, but I'd say if you're the Dolphins, that has to be the expectation. You're going to have to pay this guy some money because he is a guy, if he's being brought in to be the Dolphins quarterback, should easily expect that his contract would guarantee at least $16 million per year each of the next 2 years. That's the going rate for a starting quarterback. You look at what Tyrod Taylor signed with the Browns last year to be their quote-unquote bridge quarterback to develop Johnny Manziel. He got $16 million to be a starter. That's the going rate, kind of bare minimum, if you are an NFL team signing a starting quarterback. So, with that being said, Bridgewater probably wanted at least that. And the Dolphins probably, if we can read between the lines, thought, hey, maybe we can get a quarterback in here at a basement deal, so to speak, and not have to pay him very much money. So that wasn't going to work in Bridgewater's favor if that was the case. Now, I've heard a lot of people speculate one way or the other. If Teddy Bridgewater chooses this versus that and all this other stuff. If Teddy Bridgewater was offered a ton of money to be the Dolphins starting quarterback and he decided to go be the backup in New Orleans, that's a highly questionable move on his part. More realistically, the Dolphins probably weren't willing to blow him away financially. And Teddy Bridgewater said, well, do I want to go to a place where, yes, I can start, but their offensive line right now, we know one starter in Laremy Tunsil. Other than that, it's a mess. Also, not too confident about just the entire team as a whole, right? If they are truly in tank slash rebuilding mode, and if they're not going to pay me what is the going rate for a starting quarterback in the National Football League, then I might be better off going to New Orleans and being a backup, learning from one of the best quarterbacks of all time, learning from one of the great offensive minds in Sean Payton of all time, and either develop more there to eventually replace Drew Brees, or develop there for another season, and then next year try to break the bank as a free agent once again. So, if that's what he was weighing, then good for him. He decided to go to New Orleans, and this is the better decision for him. I can't hold that against him. But here's the issue that I have. The thing that I thought with Bridgewater as a possibility entering this offseason was that he was one of the few players who would be available at quarterback via free agency. That, you know, Nick Foles, of course, was going to absolutely break the bank, and people had connected him to the Jaguars for a long time. But other than Foles, like, think about the other quarterbacks. Like, Taylor signed as the backup with the Chargers. Blake Bortles is going to be available. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Cassel, Brock Osweiler, Sam Bradford. These are some of the other names that are available right now. A.J. McCarron just became available. They released him in Oakland. But none of those players did you feel, man, that guy's got some upside. He could be the answer and could win us some games. Like, those are guys that, okay, they've been there, they've done that. You'll bring them in, and they will definitely be a placeholder while you draft another quarterback. And that's just the way it is. I thought Teddy Bridgewater was a bit of an exception. I thought Teddy Bridgewater, considering he was a former first-round pick, considering he's a couple years now removed from the catastrophic injury, and considering he's still just 26 years old, and prior to the injury was on track to be a solid starter in the league and have gone to a Pro Bowl, something Ryan Tannehill's never done. I thought he had a chance that if he comes to Miami and he's right, that you could be talking about a player in Teddy Bridgewater that could be your answer at quarterback. Now, there's no guarantees, but that's a guy who still has that potential to be your franchise quarterback down the line. You take a chance on him. If it works, the ceiling there is that he could become your franchise quarterback. If it doesn't work, you're still planning to draft a quarterback anyway, and you at least have a viable possibility with both those routes on your roster. So if it's Bridgewater plus Dwayne Haskins or Drew Lock in this year's draft, then it's like, wow, you've got two viable options there, and you feel much better about the position than you have in years. However, and by the way, we're seeing the deal. It's a one-year, $7.25 million deal for Bridgewater with the New Orleans Saints. So he took $7.25 million, fully guaranteed deal for 1 year with the Saints, rather than sign with the Dolphins to be their starter. So here's the deal. If, getting back to my point, if you signed Teddy Bridgewater, I thought he at least had a chance to potentially be a quarterback of the future for you. Unlike some of those other quarterbacks that have become available via free agency or via trade this offseason. All the other quarterbacks, to me, it's like, okay, that literally is a bridge quarterback, a stopgap quarterback, a guy that can be a placeholder. But with Bridgewater, I thought there was at least the upside where perhaps if things work out well for you, he could be a guy that could be more than that. So I thought, like, hey, the Dolphins bring him in. That would be a great move on their part. Because then they could also sell to everybody, hey, we're not actually tanking. Like, we're actually trying to win. Now, on the opposite side of this, if we are to believe the reports, and Chris Greer, I know, tried to tone this down, that they are trying to tank, then Bridgewater, I don't think, was the right fit for the Miami Dolphins. Because you needed to find a guy that was going to come in here and not win you games. Right? So, if that's the case, you got a couple of those guys on your roster right now. Luke Falk, certainly David Fales, right? Rudock, you got all those guys right now. You could start them right away, and you feel pretty good that you're not going to win too many football games. But the bottom line is this, like, what's confusing is that if the Dolphins are actually going to get into this conversation and have Teddy Bridgewater come visit, they either really lowballed him and insulted him, or Teddy Bridgewater looked at the situation here and said, man, I don't want to be a part of that. Like, that's going to be a few years. I'd rather sign for $7.25 million in New Orleans, and there's probably a good chance I'm not going to play at all. And I'd rather do that. So, you know, either way, it doesn't look good for the Miami Dolphins, because if he doesn't like the situation for whatever reason, that's not a great look. And also, like, if you're the Dolphins, you don't get into this and have him come visit if you're not willing to pay him market value for a quarterback. And that's the thing that stands out to me, because if you read the reports and reading Armando Salguero in the Miami Herald, it doesn't feel like the Dolphins were willing to pay him market value. And if you're Bridgewater and his agent, it's like, well, what's the whole point here? Are you actually a respectable NFL organization? Is this franchise doing things the right way? You know, this is one of those that really, really, really can be confounding if you try to peel back the layers of the onion, so to speak. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. 560-22 is the text line. If you're just tuning in, Teddy Bridgewater has agreed to sign with the New Orleans Saints, a one-year, $7.25 million fully guaranteed deal, according to Adam Schefter. So I want to read some of these text messages. People are chiming in on this. One of our texters says, I think it means that 13 years ago he had a decision to make or was doing something, and maybe a childhood friend, Turbo, was in trouble. No, you know what? That's an interesting thought. I think we've figured this one out, because March 14th, 2006 is when Drew Brees decided not to sign with the Dolphins, but instead signed with the New Orleans Saints. And now, March 14th, 2019, 13 years later, Teddy Bridgewater is doing the exact same thing. I think that's where the 13-year comes from, but I appreciate it, because when it first came out, you know, we're trying to interpret these things on the fly.
I was wondering what he did in Pee Wee football or something like that to really, like, change his mind or something like that. Maybe a team didn't want him and he picked another team.
It's a good question. I mean, Pride in Miami Northwestern High School. I remember watching Teddy Bridgewater. I went to FIU Stadium to watch him play against Central High School when he was in the quarterback at Miami Northwestern. I mean, one of the best high school players you'll see. I know he broke a lot of hearts going to Louisville, but it worked out for him. Teddy Bridgewater had a chance to come home, decides to go to New Orleans. Rick and Davey says, nice to hear you again, young Greg. Well, thank you, Rick. He says, what's going on with Quinn? What's taking so long to cut him? Well, I don't know what's going on with Robert Quinn, but because they didn't cut him by today, he's due $1.12 million in a bonus that they have to pay him starting tomorrow. Another texter says, Teddy Bridgewater saying he's going to break all of Dan Marino's passing yards. He's coming to Miami pretty soon. Somebody else says he made the smart choice. Says, play with crap or play with a Hall of Famer. somebody says, wait, didn't the Dolphins turn down Brees? I don't think Brees turned them down. Well, I'm with you, because that was a scenario where the Dolphins basically decided they chose Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees, but it was on this day that Drew Brees officially signed with the Saints. So that's the backstory there. Debbie says, I love listening to you, Greg. Well, thank you, Debbie. I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Another texter says, nobody wants to play for the garbage Dolphins. Okay. Rick and Davey says, thank you. Hallelujah that Teddy Bridgewater didn't sign. Another texter says, guys, Bridgewater has a chance to be their QB in a year or two. If he comes here, we're tanking. No chance he'll be starting here in a year or two. Greg, you're confusing me. You said Manziel in 2006. Did I say Manziel at any point? Have I said Manziel?
I think you said Manziel, but it wasn't connecting with those. I saw that text too, and I wasn't really sure because you talked about Manziel and Tyrod. I think you messed that one up because it was Tyrod and Baker. That's the only thing.
Oh, got
I
it, got it. Yeah, up. Yeah. And Baker. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Jeez, Greg.
That's what it was in Cleveland. Another texter here says, why would Teddy sign with Miami? New Orleans runs things better as well as has a good old line. Teddy almost severed his leg a couple years ago, and he would get killed here. Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. At the same time, many would counter that by saying it's an invaluable, now not necessarily invaluable, but it's a great opportunity to be a starter in the National Football League and the money that comes along with it. Another texter says, you guys are an oxymoron. You want to win, but you want to lose. Stick with what we got. Lose, don't spend any money, and get a draft pick. Come on, man. Well, but here's the thing is, like, I thought that Teddy Bridgewater could be kind of the best of both worlds, where even if you bring him in and you got a bad roster around him, you could see a guy develop into the possible quarterback of the future. I don't think that was out of the realm of possibility. And so, you know, I haven't necessarily been all on board with this idea of completely tanking, because as I have noted multiple times when I've been on these airwaves, is that you look at some of the teams who have gotten their great, dynamic franchise quarterbacks via the draft. They have done so while not tanking in the process. Remember, the Rams signed Jared Goff or drafted Jared Goff when they had the 15th overall pick and they moved up to number one. Remember, Pat Mahomes, he was picked at number 12. The Chiefs moved up from 24 to take him, right? Like Deshaun Watson, the Texans moved up to take him as well. It's not like you have to tank for Tua. You have to tank for Justin Herbert. These teams out there, once they build up enough capital in the draft, they can find their way to move up to get the guy that they covet.
And if we're that bad, it's not like Tua or Justin Herbert or any of those guys realistically are going to change it. I mean, if we're bad enough to be the number one pick, you saw with the Browns. The Browns, I mean, they're finally looking good. It took them like 100 years basically to get to this spot, though.
It did. It took them a long time.
And it's still not a guarantee.
And here's the other thing. That's a good point. The Giants appear to be in tank mode right now, right? So what happens if the Giants have a worse record than the Dolphins and they get the number one overall pick? Even if the Dolphins have the number two overall pick, the Giants aren't going to budge from there, right? So even if the Dolphins wanted Tua and he's the number one pick next year, then another team could beat him out for it. It's an imperfect game. So my point on this, and you can say that we're going back and forth on it, is that we are all stuck in the middle here trying to interpret what the Dolphins are trying to do and what their strategy is for this offseason. And it's mightily confusing. A lot of what they are doing, we should be able to tell via this first part of the offseason and free agency and be able to read between the lines. But the fact that they're pursuing Teddy Bridgewater and have him in for a visit and seemingly on his final two list, that would lend credibility to the idea they're not officially tanking, but the fact that they weren't willing to offer him enough money, right? Because, like, let's be honest, Bridgewater gets $7.5 million, because Bridgewater, according to Schefter, Bridgewater's 1 year $7.5 million deal with the Saints also has a maximum value of $12.5 million with incentives per source. Okay, so if he plays a lot, like Brees gets hurt, he plays a lot and puts up numbers, he'll get up to $12.5 million. But the bottom line, like, the Dolphins obviously didn't put together a financial package that was appealing enough for Bridgewater to say, you know what, I'm not going to go be a backup. Even though I can make great money as a backup, I'm not going to go be a backup. I'm going to go to Miami and be able to be the man and make the money like the man. And it hasn't happened. We'll come back. We got a bunch more text messages coming in. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. Teddy Bridgewater decides not to sign with the Dolphins, instead signs with the Saints. We continue to react next here on QAM. Radio.com. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens here with you. Taking the show up until 10 o'clock tonight. That's when Panthers hockey coverage takes over on QAM. Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Appreciate you tuning in. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we will have Adam Beasley join us from the Miami Herald. Does a great job covering the Dolphins and the National Football League. We'll get his reaction to the latest news involving Teddy Bridgewater. We're getting your reaction via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. 56022, if you're just tuning in, Teddy Bridgewater, within the last half an hour or so, has decided to remain with the New Orleans Saints. He has signed, according to Adam Schefter, it's a one-year, $7.5 million deal with a max value of $12.5 million with the incentives. So he's going to make $7.5 million guaranteed. And if he, I would imagine, not knowing the actual details, but if he hits a bunch of incentives, so if Drew Brees gets injured and he has to step in and he puts up some numbers, it looks like he can make an extra $5 million with the incentives. So that's what Teddy Bridgewater decides to do, despite visiting the Dolphins yesterday as a free agent and at least entertaining the thought of returning home to play for his hometown Miami Dolphins. He decides not to. Now, it's fascinating on a number of levels because, you know, on one hand, you could say, hey, the Dolphins don't want a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater if they truly are tanking. They don't want a guy who can come in and play and potentially win them games if they are completely in tank mode. On the other hand, if you actually believe Chris Greer, which I'm saying you take everything any of these guys say with a grain of salt, but if you believe Chris Greer and they're not actually tanking, then this is a scenario in which you might be asking yourself as a Dolphins fan, how come the Dolphins didn't pony up the amount of money that was appropriate for a quarterback that's going to be asked to be a starter on the open market, which you're going to have to start at least $16 million annually? Why wouldn't they do that if they actually want to win games in 2019? So those are the two polar opposite thoughts here. So for everybody who's on board with the tank mode, you're probably all happy that Teddy Bridgewater isn't coming to Miami. For those who want to see the Dolphins try to win in the upcoming season, then there's probably a lot of disappointment. Me, I kind of fall in the middle because, again, I thought Bridgewater had the potential where he could have been a player that if developed properly, maybe you wouldn't need to draft a quarterback. You probably still would have, but he could have turned into your franchise guy moving forward. Instead, he is back to New Orleans, and the other very interesting element to this is that it's 13 years ago to the day that Drew Brees was told by the Dolphins, yeah, we're not interested because of the shoulder, and he then signed with the New Orleans Saints, March 14th, 2006. And this time around, it's March 14th, 2019, and Bridgewater decided not to sign with the Dolphins and instead go to the New Orleans Saints. We're reading your text messages, 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. One of our texters says, if Bridgewater would have taken the deal from the Dolphins, he would be an idiot. I'm a huge Dolphins fan, but the Saints job for $7-plus million is a no-brainer. Another says, they can give crap Cutler $10 million, but not Teddy. Now I know why he chose the Saints. Same texter says, how about you get aggressive and trade up for Dwayne Haskins? That may become more of a reality or a possibility, considering the reports out of New York are that the Giants may not actually take a quarterback in the first round this year. And they may be more infatuated with Tua Tagovailoa. If that's the case, they sit at number six. Maybe Dwayne Haskins falls. Maybe the Dolphins do have an opportunity to pounce there. It's not out of the realm of possibility like we may have thought just a little while ago. Well, one of our texters says Bridgewater hasn't played well in 2 years. Another horrific injury. He has to prove that he can play. No one's giving them starter money. No one thinks he can be one. Well, here's the deal. Like, Tyrod Taylor signed his contract last year with the Browns. He got about $16 million. You take a look, Mike Glennon with the Bears signed a huge deal with them, and he was going to be brought in as a placeholder and ultimately didn't play very much before Mitchell Trubisky took over. So Taylor was benched in favor of Baker Mayfield, and you got the scenarios where, you know, Chase Daniel, Sam Bradford, AJ McCarron, all of these guys signed, and not all of them signed huge deals, but most guys who sign contracts to be starting quarterbacks, you got to start at around $16 million. So whether you believe in Bridgewater or not, you know, that's typical market value. Okay. Another texter here says, Tannehill is the quarterback we need to lose games.
I don't agree with that texter whatsoever.
If
I'm a Dolphin fan, I'm actually scared of him. Because you know what? Since he's been here, the one thing he's been able to do is be consistently 8-8 and be around that record. So if I was them, I would honestly get rid of him if you want to tank.
Well, that's what they need to do regardless. I mean, like, I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter what the Dolphins want to do. They need to get rid of Ryan Tannehill. Because I would rather have Blake Bortles, Sam Bradford, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't care who it is. I want somebody else playing quarterback for the Dolphins. Brian Flores cannot start his tenure as the new head coach of this team. And Chris Greer, in earnest, starting a new tenure for himself without Mike Tannenbaum looking over his shoulder or Adam Gase calling the shots from the sideline. They need to hit the reset button at the quarterback position, even if it's just for appearances' sake. That needs to happen. Ryan Tannehill cannot be back with this team. It would be inexcusable. And Biff, I'm with you. He's too good if you're trying to tank. And it's such an odd phenomenon. It's so counterintuitive. It's like, well, if he's good, why wouldn't you want him back? Well, he's not good enough to do anything but keep you between, realistically, 8-8 and 6-10. Right? I mean, that's basically where Tannehill resides. His career record is 42-46 as a starting quarterback for the Dolphins. So he's good enough to keep you out of the top five of the draft, but he's not good enough to get you much further than that. That's the dilemma. But even, I mean, like, just from a non-football standpoint, throw that out the window. You've had 7 years of that. You need some fresh blood. And even if it's going to be a guy like Bradford, Fitzpatrick, Matt Cassel, Blake Bortles, any of these players, bring them in, let them be the quarterback for a little while you either draft a guy this year or draft a guy next year. Just get some fresh blood in there. Because for the locker room, for the coaching staff, for the front office, for the fans, you need someone new playing quarterback for the Dolphins. You just do. Okay, we got some people saying that Teddy is all hype. Somebody says, if he doesn't want to be a starter, I don't want him. Somebody says, sign Bortles. Another texter says, Bridgewater doesn't want to get killed behind whatever crap show O-line we put together. Another texter says, Teddy Bridgewater could get you 6 or 7 wins, and you won't be able to suck for luck, or you won't be able to, I don't know, I'm assuming tank. Another texter says, suck for luck worked great. Tanking, let's not act like the Finns won't find a way to screw that up. Let's see. I don't trust a quarterback that wears gloves on both hands year round. Doesn't Tom Brady wear gloves all the time? I trust him.
I understand if like you're wearing like receiver gloves and stuff like that, because then it has stick to it. But like, I mean, the gloves he's wearing, I mean, it just, that's no big deal.
That's just a matter of personal preference and what's comfortable. Okay. Another texter here says, this is from Frank. Frank Kendall says, hey, Greg, it's me, Frank. Teddy was a backup, sophomore, senior to Ja'Cory Harris. He wanted to start right away, not be a backup to Harris again at UM. Also, let me ask you, would you rather start on a crappy team being sacked and, hurt for life for $10 million, or be a backup for $7.5 million and possibly win a Super Bowl? Well, that's the thing. Like, if you're Teddy Bridgewater, he obviously turned down, if it was, say, $10 million, hypothetically, because he'd rather be on a quality-run franchise. At the same time, that's where I'd fault the Dolphins, because if you're going to try and get your starting quarterback, at least be prepared to pay starting quarterback money. Another texter says, this is Martini Man. It says, love the show, Greg. Thank you, Martini Man. It says, Teddy's a big you-know-what. Anyway, glad he didn't sign. Another texter says, Dolphins can't win until they have a true identity. Another one here says, Why in God's name do we re-sign Parker? Hey, Devontae Parker, that was supposed to be the big recruiting chip, right? To land Teddy Bridgewater, former teammates at Louisville, and that didn't get the job done. Here, you know what, though? I don't have a problem with the Devontae Parker re-signing. You're not bringing him back for the $9.4 million that he would have gotten in the fifth-year option. You sign him to a two-year, $13 million deal that is incentive-laden. Think about, like, Cole Beasley got $17 million guaranteed from the Buffalo Bills. Like, the wide receiver market is a little crazy. Tyrell Williams, 4 years, $44 million from the Oakland Raiders. Like, they're not paying Devontae Parker that much in the grand scheme of things based on market value. So they still see some upside there, get a new coaching staff to try to work with him. It's a very low risk, potentially high reward contract. So I don't have a huge issue with that. All right, we're getting a bunch of more text messages about Teddy Bridgewater. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22, 560-22. I will continue to read those, and we'll talk about Bridgewater. But also, now that the Bridgewater ship has sailed, who do you want as your quarterback next year if you're a Miami Dolphins fan? Let me know, because we are running out of options now. Tyrod Taylor was supposed to be their first choice. Teddy Bridgewater, that doesn't happen. Who's next for the Dolphins to be their quarterback in 2019? We'll discuss that next year on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.